It's time now for another Candidates Forum right here on Super Talk 800. Today we'll talk with the candidates for the 116th District Representative seat, and Dale Wright going to be joining us live in studio. Usually we do have both candidates live in studio and we go back and forth, but Bill Kramer was not able to make it in studio, and so we will have a recorded interview with Bill, and then we'll talk to Dale after that. We did a coin toss like we always do, and the coin toss came up with Bill going first, and so we'll have Dale right after that, and we'll hear the thoughts of Bill Kramer. He is the Democratic candidate for the 116th District Representative seat, coming up right after this.
We're making great deals better every day at Turner Chevrolet Cadillac, where we absolutely never have any admin or dock fees that add $200 to $400 to every car deal, like all the other dealers around do. A sales staff that is here to help you find the vehicle you want without games and gimmicks. Come see Carrie, James, or Chris for your new or pre-owned vehicle. Come see me, Daryl, for your financing needs. Visit us all at Turner Chevrolet Cadillac or visit turnergm.com 24/7. It's Turner Chevrolet Cadillac, where everybody gets a great deal.
Welcome back to KREI Radio. This is the Candidates Forum featuring the Democrat and the Republican running for state representative in the 116th District. And this district covers good portion of St. Francis County, a nice chunk of St. Genevieve County, and a portion of Perry County. With us right now, Bill Kramer. He is the Democrat. And Bill, I appreciate you talking to us today. And just tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? Tell us about your family and anything you would like to mention.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me, Luke. I appreciate the opportunity. My name is Bill Kramer. I'm from St. Genevieve. Lived in St. Genevieve probably for about the last 40 years now. I'm married to my wife, Susan, for the last 35 years. We have two daughters, 9 grandchildren, and have just enjoyed making our spot in St. Genevieve and raising our family there. Currently a miner. I work at Tire Rock Stone, which is probably one of the third largest open pit mines in the United States. It's also one of the safest open pit mines in the United States. Before becoming a miner, I was a deputy sheriff for St. Genevieve County, and I did that probably for close to 10 years.
Bill, tell us why we should vote for you.
Well, my why is because of the right to work. I battled right to work from the onset before Jay Nixon ever got out of office. I'm very passionate about pro-labor. I've never have really understood why the push for people wanting right to work. And I fought that fight for probably close to 2.5 years. And the way that all went down, I just thought was, I just didn't like the way it went down. I didn't like the way that it was run through and put before the people and said, this is the way it's going to be. Fortunately, Missouri has a referendum where we can get that halted with a petition initiative and get it on a ballot, which we did. And Missouri spoke. Missouri spoke loudly that 67% of the state says they do not want it. And that's not just unions talking. That is store owners, that's Republicans, Democrats, independents, that's everybody talking. There's no way that just the union votes would have picked that up. There's only about 220,000 union members in the state of Missouri, which I think is, if I'm not mistaken, about 8%. So there's no way that unions pulled this off. So it's a topic that the entire state is behind. So that was my reason for running.
I bet you were pretty satisfied and even relieved once you saw the results.
I was extremely relieved. And quite honestly, I'm very happy. We put up a good fight. I didn't do this by myself. It was myself and some other people in St. Genevieve, and we had some help out of St. Louis. But we fought a very strong battle in St. Genevieve. And actually, St. Genevieve County was the number one county in the state for per capita in the state for voting no on Prop A, falling only under St. Louis City for the first place per capita.
Well, Bill, I understand you really don't have any experience running for this office, and I don't believe you're the person that you're running against, Dale, has really any statewide experience on the political side as well, but I understand you do have, lifetime experience of knowing what the regular everyday Missourian is looking for out there.
Yeah, I feel like I am in touch with the everyday Missourian, or at least the people in my district. I mean, I've worked myself up to a comfortable lifestyle. It wasn't always that way. I mean, I started off with an FHA loan to raise my family in a meager house that I still live in to this day. I don't live extravagantly at all. I still eat all my leftovers. We don't go out. I'm just the common person. And I think I'm in touch with the common person. I think there's a lot of people that are in the same situation that I am. I don't live paycheck to paycheck. I am able to put some money aside. But, you know, I think that makes up the bulk of people in this district. Personally, I mean, all politics aside, when it comes down to people connecting with somebody, I think they can easily connect with me. I'm not saying they can't connect with Dale. I've met Dale. Dale's very approachable. He's very well spoken. But when it comes right down to it, you know, I'm the guy that carries the lunchbox to work every day. I've eaten out of a lunchbox for 35 years now. I did when I was a deputy sheriff because I couldn't afford to go out and eat every day. You know, I wear my clothes until they are no longer wearable. I've had to glue my shoes to make them last till I get another paycheck to buy another pair of steel toe boots. And, you know, that's who I am. I'm just the average person, and that's who I want to represent. I want to represent the people that are struggling, the people that are living from paycheck to paycheck, and help them.
Now, besides right to work, I know there's another reason, and it's, I believe, a personal reason.
It is.
On why you decided to run for this state representative seat.
It is, and thanks for bringing that up, Luke. I do have a personal connection with opioid abuse. I have a family member that has struggled. As a matter of fact, was having to give Narcan to bring my family member back from the brink, and I decided, actually before I became a candidate, to attack this opioid problem head on. You know, now it has kind of, it's part of my campaign. It was never a campaign topic for me. It was a personal topic for me before I ever became a candidate. I know there are a lot of people out there struggling, and I know there's a lot of people that are going to continue to die. Last year we lost, there's two numbers I've heard, 72,000 and 7,500, or 75,000. I think it's around 72,000 though. And that's just too many. The year before was 64,000. And that's to opiates and non-opiate like fentanyl and carfentanil overdoses. And that to me is that's a staggering number. If in any other incidents where you had that many people dying, people would be appalled. That's the equivalent of a jet airplane filled with 200 passengers crashing every day for a year, 72,000 people. That's just short of, it wouldn't be, it would come out to about 360 days a year. But if you had an airliner falling to the ground every day with 200 passengers, something would be done. And I don't see a lot being done. And I don't have a solution, but I know that the governor that we have now has said as much as that he wants to tackle this. And I would love to work with anybody on this project, state representative or not state representative. I intend to keep up the pressure and keep up the fight.
Bill Kramer is our guest on this candidates forum. He's running for the state representative seat in the 116th district, a Democrat. You mentioned the opioid issue and right to work, but Bill, what are some of the other big statewide topics that you see out there that might need a little help or fix? Or
well, one of the things, you know, I'm also passionate about is bringing up the minimum wage is huge for me. $7.85 is just that's just almost a slap in the face as far as I'm concerned. I recently had both arms incapacitated to where I had to hire somebody to cut my grass. And I thought, well, I should pay at least minimum wage to cut my grass. My lawn takes about 45 minutes to cut. So I applied minimum wage to that. And it came out to a little bit less than $6 for somebody to come over and cut my grass. And I don't know anyone that's going to drive to my house and cut my grass for $6. That's how pathetic that is. So you try and raise a family on that, is it's just not right. So I am so much in favor of raising the minimum wage, which we've got on the ballot this year, is the Prop B. Prop D is another one that I'm also in favor of, and that's the fuel tax that's going to be imposed to deal with our infrastructure, to fix our crumbling bridges. I believe Missouri is at what they consider a D rating for our bridges and highways and our rivers. You know, that's inclusive of everything. Amendment 1, which is will be an amendment to the Constitution. I'm also really happy to see that come around. I hope that passes. That stops lobbyist gifts from exceeding $5. So I think that's going to be really interesting, and I'd really like to see that happen.
Bill, one more question for you. Not really a question, but this is your closing statement. You're allowed to just tell us about anything that I may have missed that I didn't ask you or anything else that you'd like to tell us about yourself.
Well, Luke, I'm just the average guy. I have a very average family and live in a very small home. Like I said before, I live in the same home that I raised my children in and will live there until I can't take care of it anymore. I'm still a working man. I work in the mines. Right now I'm working 9 hours a day, 6 days a week, and I just got back to work. So I'm really anxious to start drawing a paycheck again. I've been out of work for 5 months, so it's been a long summer. As far as my campaign goes, I've been on a very limited budget. I haven't been able to utilize newspaper. I haven't been able to utilize the radio. That's why this is such a blessing to be able to come in here and talk and not have to shell out a bunch of money, because I don't have a lot of money. I've got, jokingly, this race is kind of like David and Goliath. I mean, me being David, of course, I mean, I'm on such a limited budget. I've got 5 large signs out, and I think I've got 3 boxes of yard signs total. I've kind of spent my time knocking on doors and trying to meet people where I can. And so if anyone needs to get in touch with me, I guess look me up on Facebook. I don't have a dedicated page because I just don't have time to, or people to manage that page. Just look me up on Facebook or shoot me a message on Messenger and I'll try and get back to you.
Bill Kramer, good luck to you in the
election.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bill Kramer, he's the Democrat. He's being challenged. Well, this is a new seat, the one that was vacated by Kevin Engler after term limits. So Dale Wright, the Republican, Bill Kramer, the Democrat, running for state representative in the 116th district.
And Luke Turnbo doing that interview with Bill Kramer, as he was unable to join us live. But we will have Dale Wright, the 116th district representative on the Republican side, in studio with us right after this.
Don't let the flu season sneak up on you. Let PharmaX Pharmacy be the destination for your immunization needs. We're gearing up for the vaccination season and are stocked up and ready for you. PharmaX Pharmacy offers flu and pneumonia shots, shingles vaccines, and many more. Visit PharmaX Pharmacy in Bonterre, Ledington, Potosi, Imperial, and Festus. Also, PharmaX Medical Equipment in Farmington is ready to help you with your home medical equipment needs. PharmaX Pharmacy.
Now let's meet the Republican candidate for the 116th representative seat, Dale Wright. Thanks so much for coming in and joining us on the air. We appreciate it. Dale, first of all, let's learn a little bit about you. Introduce us to yourself. Farmington born and raised, right?
Yes, and Chad, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. Yes, born and raised here. I was raised in a union family. My father worked at St. Joe Lead Company, and to make ends meet, we were... He bought a dump truck, and so he hauled dirt and chat and rock after work each day, and so he did that to sustain the family. So we were lived in a pretty meager situation growing up. I actually learned about working with my father. After school, it would be my job to we would go out to Doe Run. I had the opportunity of driving the Ford tractor with the loader on the front down to the chat pile. And so then I'd ride with my dad hauling chat and rock and so on. And then at the end of the day, well, then I would drive it back to where he would park it. So I started early. I actually wanted to be a carpenter growing up. My grandfather was a carpenter, and I love building, still like building. And I did that for a while because I was an outside kind of a guy, I thought. And I took building trades, worked with Paul Hassey for a few years. And then I experienced my first winter and decided I was an inside kind of guy because it was really cold outside. And so I got a job at Mineral Area Hospital as an orderly. And then we were also we were an ambulance driver as well. So when we were taking care of patients, we were at Mineral Area Hospital. But then when there was a call, we would drive the ambulance. Mm-hmm. And so we did that, and that got me interested in healthcare. That was back in 1970. And then the contract between Mineral Area Hospital and the county expired. And so they kept three of us on the job. I was one of the three, and I became the stock boy or the storeroom clerk for the hospital at Mineral Area Hospital. And I would unload the trucks, and I would deliver the supplies and the pharmaceuticals and the lab equipment and so on to the floors and to the nurses. Well, while I was doing that, well, then the CEO of the company or of Mineral Area left, and C.J. LaRose became the administrator and told me if I would get some college courses that I could take over as the purchasing agent. In other words, I would be able to buy all of the products. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Mineral Area College full time and worked full time and got a degree in business management. And I was became the purchasing agent. I went on from there, got into hospital administration at Phelps County Hospital in Rolla. And then while I was there, I was recruited by a company out of Chicago, American Hospital Supplies, now Cardinal Healthcare. Mm-hmm. And they recruited me to sell medical supplies and equipment and so on. And I did that for a while. And that gave me the opportunity of moving back to Farmington, which is home for me. And so we did that. And then I was recruited again by a company out of Cape Girardeau that did contracting and managing and so on. And I worked my way up to the vice president of the United States and did that. And then I got tired of driving to Cape. So I started looking around here and found a company that actually made medical supplies, surgical trays and packs and so on, and went to work for them as vice president of sales. And then had the opportunity of partnering with Terry Braxton and a couple of other gentlemen, and we bought the company and kept it for a while and then sold it back to Cardinal Healthcare. And so I was trying to determine what was I going to do, and then I was approached by a company in St. Louis called Amerinet. And Amerinet is a large group purchasing organization. It was a buying co-op, and so essentially every hospital in the nation belongs to a group purchasing organization. And so I was hired as president of one of their divisions, and then that division was doing about $4 million of business at the time, and it was really struggling. And so they hired me to take that over, and I put together a really good team. And when I retired in 2015, we had grown it to a $300 million company. Mm. During that time, to reward me for some of the growth that I'd achieved, they made me the chief contracting officer of the corporation. And so I did that. And had several divisions report up to me. And so I worked my way up to that. And then in 2015, our company was acquired. And the CEO and I and a couple of others on the executive team were able to take a package. And so I essentially retired at that time. And I do consulting now with people and companies who invest in healthcare companies. And so I give them advice and how things work in healthcare and so on. As far as my being prepared for serving in Jefferson City, the budget at the state capitol is about $28 billion. Two-thirds of that is already spoken for, whether it's Medicare, Medicaid, roads, healthcare, whatever that is. So there's really only $9 billion that is discretionary, where the legislators actually are able to control that spending. Well, that's exactly or almost the same as the same budget I was over at Amerinet. It was a multi-billion dollar budget that I controlled each year and in leading the company. So I feel like that's prepared me for dealing with big dollar budgets. Another thing, in my last position at Amerinet, I had the opportunity, the amazing opportunity of working with some of the world's finest companies and their executive teams. These are companies like Johnson & Johnson, 3M, Kimberly-Clark, Verizon, Sprint. So I had the opportunity of rubbing shoulders with them and learning from them as to how things should run and how things should work. And these are excuse me, companies that are continually expanding and growing, mm-hmm. and they're building new factories. Well, with the relationship I have, why not the mineral area or the parkland or St. Genevieve or Perry County? So if I can use my relationships with those, it would be, I think, a real benefit to all of us here in the Parkland area. So those are some of the things I think that I can bring to the table. I've worked hard. I started very meagerly, and I've been blessed to have some successes. And I have to give my appreciation to the good teams that I've got to work with. It's not just the Dale Wright Show, but it's a whole host of people who made all those things happen.
When did you first decide that you would like to run for the 116th, and why do you think that was so?
Yeah, I think that the party heard that I was basically taking my retirement, and so they thought that I might be available. They had been, I guess, eyeing me and some others over the several years, and they had mentioned that to me, would I be interested in considering it? And so I thought about it. It took me about a year and a half because that's a big decision. Mm-hmm. You know, retirement sounded pretty good, and taking life easy sounded pretty good. But I will tell you, Chad, I've been blessed so much over the years with a wonderful family and just a great, great life that it is time for me to pay back to the community. I do have a record of volunteering. I'm on the Mineral Area College Foundation Board. I currently serve on the executive committee as the vice president. I've served on the MCII Shelter Workshop Board for about 20 years now. And then I also serve on the Farmington Police Personnel Board.
Okay.
I did serve in the Farmington City Council, but when I decided to run, well, then I did not seek to be elected again on that. So I have a strong record of volunteering, and I will tell you, I have a real compassion for those who are less fortunate than us, those who cannot help themselves. I think we have a responsibility to help them. I do think there are some out there getting maybe some resources, state resources, that maybe are capable of working. So I think they ought to be working and earning their own way. But for those who cannot, I think we have a responsibility to take care of them.
What other issues are you interested in addressing if you're elected?
Well, one thing I'm just thrilled about for Missouri is that we are required to have a balanced budget each year. That's critical. It makes really hard decisions for legislators mm-hmm. When they're parsing out the dollars. But as far as viability and health of our state, it's the best thing they could have done. Politicians are not really good at living within the state's means, and so this forces us to do that. And I can assure you, Illinois and California wishes they had something like this because they're bankrupt.
Mm-hmm. You said that Proposition 1 is an issue that you're interested in.
Yes, that's called the Clean Missouri proposal, and it's, as many people have said, that is a wolf in sheep's clothing. It sounds really good when you consider it limits some of the monies that lobbyists can pay to legislators and other state officials. So there are some good things in it. But the thing that absolutely ruins the whole proposition is that rather than having equal amount of Democrats and Republicans choosing how redistricting happens, now it would be up to the state auditor, who would hire one person, a demographer, who would make all the decisions. Well, I can assure you it's going to get political when that happens. And if for no other reason you should vote against it, it's because the gentleman who's sponsoring this, or at least funding it, is George Soros. And that's a name that if people are familiar with it, usually it doesn't mean good outcomes. And what this will do, it will actually take away local representation and put representation perhaps in Ferguson. We might have someone in Ferguson represent Farmington or Perryville or St. Genevieve. And this is all about trying to equalize urban representation with rural. There are a lot of people who don't like it that the rural areas have a say in what goes on in Missouri. You have St. Louis Urban, you have Kansas City Urban, who are resentful whenever they're overridden by the outstate votes. And so that's what this is all about, is to trying to get the urban communities to be able to control what goes on in Missouri. So we do not want that to happen. So I urge everyone to please vote no against Prop 1 in the upcoming election.
All right. And finally, Dale, a closing statement, and you can tell people why you're the right choice for the 116th.
Well, again, thank you for having me, Chad. I appreciate it. I do believe that I've got the experience and the knowledge to go to Jeff City. It's a very complex place. And I know because on my own dime, I went up to Jefferson City throughout the summer observing and shadowing Representative Engler and Representative Francis and Representative Elaine Gannon and Representative Mike Henderson. And I shadowed them, and I was able to go into the inside meetings and watched how things work. So I wanted to be prepared when I got there, and I think I am prepared. And I'm honored to be considered for this opportunity. It's an opportunity that doesn't come to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, there are 163 people in the state representing 6 million people. That's quite an honor. And so I would be very honored and would ask for everybody's consideration for their vote.
All right. Dale Wright, thank you for your time. That's Dale Wright, the Republican candidate for the 116th District. And earlier on our program, we heard from Bill Kramer, the Democratic candidate for the position as well. Thanks for joining us right here on Super Talk 800 KREI.